What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 13. Today, we're going to be talking about a podcast, specifically the Joe Rogan podcast. They had a discussion breaking down pretty much meat eating versus veganism. Tom listened to the podcast. He took notes, so he's going to really go over it. But first, just want to check in with you. So how is everything going?
Everything's been pretty... Nothing's really changed a whole lot this week. Been sticking to that marathon training. It's been going pretty good so far. No setbacks yet, and I've been progressing with my run, so pretty happy with that. What's new with you?
That's good. Yeah, with me, I'm still, this is week two of my 8-week cut to Thanksgiving, so I've been messing with my macros a little bit and cutting calories. So for the longest time, when I was just pretty much eating to satiety, I was eating about 3 pounds of beef per serving. So now I'm eating about 1.5 pounds. I've cut it down. And so eating 1.5 pounds feels like I'm eating like nothing, pretty much. But that's okay. You know, that's the name of the game right now when you're doing a cut, is just to kind of cut your calories and just cut your macros in a smart way. Yeah, so I cut my fat down to about 100 grams a day. My protein's around about 250 grams a day. That's on a high day. Some of the lower days, it's around 200. And carbs are about 30 to 40 grams on training days. On non-training days, it's zero. So it's around 2,000 calories, give or take, so which is pretty low for me. I don't want to go much lower than that, so I won't. But I feel okay. Energy's good. I'm not really, like, suffering yet. I'm not miserable yet, you know, because my body still has plenty of body fat to pull from. The leaner I get, the harder it's going to be. But, you know, I'll cross that road once I get there. But
So what is that, like, pretty much a 50% fat, 50% protein? Or I guess like 47, 48, and like 5% carbs, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah, I think it's like 45 something. Yeah. So it's really just keeping the protein real high and dropping the fat down. Not really.
You still doing that raw dairy?
Actually, this week I cut out the dairy just because the dairy adds so many calories to it as far as from fat and carbohydrates. So I cut that out, so now my carb source is just, I finished that actually today. Today was my last day of the milk post-workout, and so now it's just going to be white rice post-workout for the carb source. I'll introduce dairy after this cut, because I do think that is beneficial just for growth, just for recovery, but as far as from a macro standpoint, the milk just really doesn't fit as far as this diet, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's designed to help you grow. That's why, like, the only time you should be really consuming it is when you're a baby. But, yeah, if you do fine with dairy, like, there's nothing wrong with consuming it all the time, especially if you're trying to grow.
Yeah, the only thing I'm considering doing, because right now I'm having 2 meals a day. I have my post-workout meal, and then about 5-6 hours later, I have a second meal. I'm considering adding in a third meal just to get another, like, muscle protein synthesis spike, like another turn on. But I don't know yet, because I'm so pro fasting, I'm so pro intermittent fasting, that it's kind of hard for me to go back to eating multiple small meals a day. But there really is something to getting that, like, it's around, like, they say, like, 3 grams of leucine to really turn on muscle protein synthesis. So you'll get that from like 5 ounces of beef, no matter what the cut is. So I'm thinking about adding in a third meal, but I would only do that maybe week 4, 5, 6. Like, if the cut is going a certain way and I want to switch it up, then I'll add in a third meal. Or if I'm, like, starving, I'll add in a third meal. But for right now, I'm just going to keep my feeding window to 6 hours and the fasting window to 18 hours and just see how that goes.
So what would that last meal be? Just be, like, a lean cut of meat?
It would. It would be, because right now my first meal is ground beef with white rice and eggs. That's my post-workout. Then my second meal is just beef heart, or beef heart and tuna. I think I'm just going to transition just to beef heart. And then my third meal would just be another serving of the beef heart. So I bought 20 pounds of beef heart today, so I have to start eating it, you know?
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah.
How many pounds is that? Is that one? That can't be one.
No. Yeah, I was actually talking to the guy today because I just mentioned I need like a steady supply of this heart because it's really going to be a big proponent of my diet. I was like, so can you just keep ordering hearts for me? And he said, yeah, I will for sure. But each heart apparently is like maybe 3 or 4 pounds. So, because initially I was like, yo, I just want like a heart to myself. How much does a heart weigh? And he's like 3 or 4 pounds. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind. I want like 5 hearts. So he said, okay, so he's going to order me 20 pounds and I'm going to go get it on Monday. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, so I'm glad. I'm glad I got a hookup there.
Yeah, I should probably do that too because I go there about once a week and it seems like their organ meats are kind of hit or miss. Maybe it's because I go after you, clean them all out.
That's true, because I bought all the heart they had. I was like, how much do you have? He's like, oh, we have this much. And I said, I'll take it. I was like, just give it to me. So, because that's true. Sometimes you go there and they don't have what you need. And normally, if it's just my, when I'm eating normally, I'm just trying to maintain. It's not that big a deal because you can get different cuts. But right now, and I'm really trying to be regimented, I need to eat the same things, the same calories, the same macros. Like, that's really important. So I don't want to miss out on those meals.
Yeah, when you're doing all these types of like little experiments, especially like self experiments, you need to like keep all your variables in check. You know, only changing one thing, that way you know, hey, this is what's making a difference, or hey, this doesn't make a difference. When you throw variables in at once, how are you really even going to know what's giving you benefits and what isn't?
Exactly. Yeah, but it's working out, and luckily, I like the taste of beef heart. Like, it's really growing on me. I just put some salt on it. It's not a big deal. And it's so cheap. Like, it is so cheap. I bought 20 pounds today, and it was, like, $60. That's, like, free. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good deal, especially for probably the healthiest thing in that store, or damn near.
Yeah, damn near. And it's from local cows, grass-fed, organic. Like, it's just, it doesn't get any better than that, you know?
Oh, yeah, the only way to improve it would be if you grew a cow in your backyard and killed it and ate it fresh. That would probably be the only improvement you could
make on that. Yeah, and it would be a lot messier.
Yeah, my neighbors need a little bit of a bigger space. Yeah. And I don't know if TJ would really appreciate you slaughtering a cow.
No, she definitely wouldn't. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so let's get into the topic of the podcast, which was that Joe Rogan experiment. I think it's JRE, right? So Joe Rogan Experiment podcast. He had what are the guys on he had?
Okay, so I don't know, is it experiment or experience?
Is it experience? Yeah, it's JRE. I forget what the E stands for.
Yeah, so this was a very interesting podcast. It was very, very long. So for everybody that wants to check it out, I do recommend it because it does bring up a lot of very interesting points, and you hear two people at the top of their professions debating a very, very controversial subject. So Chris Kresser, well, I'm just going to come out and say it. I was on his side before I even started the podcast. I've been following him for quite a while now. I get his newsletters and my email. I get them at least once a week. He's one of at least like the top 10, top 15 people that like I follow his work. So I was a little bit biased going in. He used to be a vegetarian, even went vegan for a couple years. He didn't do too well on it, so that's when he started looking into a little bit more nutritional sciences, a little bit more studies, and then he started introducing meat and did a lot better on that. The other guy that he was debating is Dr. Joel Kahn. He's very, very big in the vegetarian, vegan movement. He is a cardiologist, heart surgeon, so like he's actually doing the work, like cutting open people's hearts. He's very big on the whole vegetarian movement. Let's see, and he's been practicing for over 20 years. He brought up a lot. Instead of actually bringing up a lot of like studies and research, he just kind of like, trust me, I'm smart. He kind of has that vibe going on, and he's a little bit too dogmatic in what he's thinking. And he doesn't really, like, whatever he learned in school, and that's what he's been practicing, and that's the way it is, and no matter what new information comes out, you know, it's just kind of like fake news, and he doesn't really fall into that. So I think Chris Kresser won the debate, but again, I was biased. And then also, it depends on how you were listening. Joel Kahn is very, I don't know, I think he came across as arrogant. Maybe other people would say he's more confident. Kresser did kind of backtrack a couple things that he said, and he started off sounding very timid towards the beginning of the podcast, but as it went along, you could see like his confidence building, and he definitely kind of came at Joel a few times with some very good, interesting facts. So it was a nice little debate. So like one of the major things the debate was cancer. Does meat cause cancer? So what are your thoughts on that first?
There's no way meat causes cancer. What in meat causes cancer? Is it TMAO? That's what they're saying?
They did bring that up, which is something I haven't heard before, but we'll talk about that later on.
Okay.
Talking about that more with heart disease than with cancer. They were most referring to animal protein activates the mTOR pathway, whereas plant protein does not, which was their major thing of debate. That was like the first major topic that they were discussing.
Okay. Well, honestly, I feel like with mTOR gets a bad rap, but without mTOR, we'd all be dead. Okay? We need that for growth throughout our entire body, growth and repair. It's a necessary pathway.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And pretty much what Dr. Kahn was arguing was that protein activates the mTOR pathway, or animal protein activates the mTOR pathway, therefore it causes cancer, or therefore meat causes cancer. But Kresser was arguing on the other side. It's like, well, if you take a step back instead of just looking at this one mechanism, when you apply it, like, you don't see that meat eaters have higher rates of cancer than vegans. Well, actually, I should clarify that. Healthy meat eaters don't have higher rates of cancer, which they should. I mean, especially with this whole carnivore diet out there, we should see every single person that's on a carnivore diet, or damn near, all of them should have like crazy high cancer rates, but we're not really seeing that. So I didn't really agree with Dr. Joel Kahn there. But again, like, he is the authority on some of this stuff, and he lets you know several times.
Oh, God. I mean, I hate that. That's like the whole, what's the saying to, you can't see the forest despite the trees?
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
That's what it is. Like, you focus on this one thing because you think he has an angle, but we need that. Just like insulin. Like, insulin isn't the devil. It's hyperinsulinemia that's really the problem. mTOR is not causing anything out of whack. It's when that system is, like, dysregulated and things are going on that shouldn't be happening. That's when it's a problem, but mTOR in itself is a necessary and healthy pathway. We need to build cells 24/7, 365. We need to recycle proteins. We need to recycle everything in our body to keep us functioning properly.
Yeah, exactly. Everything needs to be kept in that little Goldilocks zone. You know, too little of something, too much of something is always going to be bad. So you want to keep it in that nice little, not too much, not too little, that homeostasis.
Yeah,
that
and is I would like argue basically
an answer to everything.
Yeah, exactly. And I would argue that if plant protein doesn't activate mTOR, which I haven't really heard that, and I don't know how true that is, but whatever, that guy wants to use that as a pro, I would use it as a con that mTOR is activated by the protein in animals. It's because animals provide complete protein amino acid profiles. Therefore, our bodies can actually use it to repair our bodies. When plants, no plant is going to offer you a complete amino acid profile, I'm sorry. So it's almost useless. So it's just a waste of calories. So I would argue the exact opposite.
Yeah, I might be misquoting Dr. Kahn on this one, but I believe he said that the mTOR pathway isn't activated is because of the low levels of, is it low levels of methionine that's in vegetables?
Yes.
Or is it high levels?
Low.
Levels,
right? Damn near zero. Yeah.
I think that was his argument for it.
Yeah, and methionine is a sulfur-containing amino acid that is essential for a lot of our, like, metabolism. It is like the backbone for a ton of our metabolic pathways.
Yeah, and he kind of quoted stuff like health organization. They wouldn't say that meat causes cancer unless it was true. So he was using a lot of like these gigantic institutions saying, hey, these 20 plus institutions that are, you know, worldwide recognized, they wouldn't be saying something unless it was like scientific fact.
Oh shit. Please. Oh God. Is it the American Cancer Association? Somebody recently said meat caused cancer, and they like pretty much how that whole their big study broke down. They pulled like 7 studies. It was, let me give rats a carcinogen, something that causes cancer. Let me feed the rats a ton of sugar, and then let me feed the rats a little bit of meat. And did the rats get any sort of tumor growth? Not even cancerous growth, just a tumor growth. And a few of them did. Like, oh, meat causes cancer. It wasn't the sugar, and it wasn't the carcinogen you shot them up with to begin with, but they just said meat was the answer for these problems. And then you look at who's on the board, and it's all the people who benefit from the narrative that meat causes cancer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I'm thinking of maybe you just mentioned, but they only found that it raised like cancer, like 18%, something crazy low like that. And again, these are coming from mostly epidemiological studies. We've discussed about how fucking bad those are. Those are just
trash.
Let me give you a survey. What did you eat for the last year or a couple of years? Something along those lines. Nobody's memory is that good. I mean, I even use like MyFitnessPal and put in most of my meals. I would not even be able to go back on a year and be able to do that because there's still a lot of shit that I missed. And like, I'm on top of this stuff a lot more than I'd say like 95% of other people. So just those type of studies are garbage. And 18% isn't enough of an increase to really make
any claim. Conclusion. Yeah.
Correlation does not equal causation. So like, that's just a horrible argument to be going off of. The only like major thing that we've really been able to find when to correlation with causation is cigarettes. But that was at like 1,000% increase. You were over 10 times more likely to get cancer if you were smoking than if you weren't. 1,000%. That's a gigantic percent. This 18% is just mostly probably air. But you can't really, 18% is not a big enough increase to really make any conclusions, especially to tell the rest of the world, hey, you shouldn't eat meat. That's a very, very big leap.
Huge leap, yeah. And just like the error rate in those studies is more than 18%. So you shouldn't even bring that up. Like, it shouldn't even be a point. That point should have been swept under the rug. Like, okay, that doesn't exist. But the fact that these people latched onto it just shows their bias. It shows where they want the narrative to go.
I know, and it's sad, but that's the way it is. So I'm going to talk about something else that I found interesting. This is later on in the podcast, before I move on to like the major topic of discussion. So Dr. Joel Kahn mentioned something, but I have never heard this before in my life. Well, I wonder if you've heard this. Have you heard that fish causes diabetes?
No. That's the stupidest shit you've ever said.
Could you think of a way that fish causes diabetes?
Is it TMAO again?
But I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Maybe somebody who doesn't understand talks about protein metabolism raising insulin levels, maybe?
That was kind of like the way I was thinking of it. Is like, yeah, if you're only eating like lean cuts of like fish, basically like all you're eating, maybe. But I just can't think of any like metabolic pathways that would really like that you would go through that much gluconeogenesis and then develop insulin resistance to get diabetes. Like, it was just like the most baffling thing.
So what was his answer to it?
Again, he was like quoting some studies that just show like this correlation equals causation type of thing. And both Kresser and Joe Rogan were both like, what the hell are you talking about? How does fish cause diabetes? Like, they were both, they've never heard that either. I saw that like just super interesting. I'm like, what straws is this fool grasping at right now? Like, I've never heard this before. And oh, most vegetarians or vegans will say that fish is the type of meat that you should be eating. If you're going to be eating meat, it's like you should be doing eggs or you should be doing fish. Like, most of them will kind of be like, hey, those are okay. It's the land animals that you should really stay away from.
Yeah, it's animals with faces.
Yeah, that just blew me away. Yes, I don't really want to give that too much time because I just thought that was just crazy.
Because it is crazy and it's stupid, and everybody out there that's listening, fish does not cause diabetes. If you want to, you want diabetes, go sip on a Coke 24/7. You'll get diabetes real quick.
This is how you can get diabetes from fish. If you eat fish and chips, which is like coated fish, deep fried, and it comes with a side of generally French fries. If that is how you're consuming fish...
Hold on, and a side Coke. Don't forget the side Coke.
Oh, yeah, that's very, very important. If you're eating that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, yeah, you're gonna that'll lead to diabetes. But because of the fucking fish. It's because of everything else that is shitty and fake that's in that meal. It has nothing to do with the fish.
Thank you. Exactly. Now we saw the riddle. That's how fish makes you diabetic. There you go.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could really think of, and I believe that's what they kind of came across. Again, this is a 4-hour podcast, so sorry if I don't remember everything perfectly, but yeah, that was just some just madness. So, the main topic of discussion, which...
And hold on, I just want to reemphasize this. If somebody that you listen to, somebody you respect, says, hey, fish causes diabetes, you need to question everything else they say. Like, legitimately. Be like, hold on. This dude doesn't know what he's talking about. And really go through with a fine-tooth comb what he's saying. Because if someone genuinely believes that, just because it fits his little ideological box, that's a problem.
Yeah, and which was funny is because, like, almost the entire time, he was saying fish is okay. He wasn't really being super dogmatic about, hey, meat is bad for everyone all the time. He wasn't really making that argument too much. But this was just one where he's just like, yeah, fish causes diabetes. Kind of just came out of left field. They talked about it for like a couple minutes and then just like moved on real quick because there was a lot of other shit that they were discussing. So the bulk of the podcast was about saturated fat and cholesterol, which, no surprise, we have a cardiologist in here talking about it. So, of course, he's going to bring up his major point of influence. I mean, that's what he knows everything about. That's his profession. So... For the longest time, we've been basing the diet heart hypothesis. Wow, I don't know why I couldn't remember that. I just heard it like 50 times in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So saturated fat in your diet leads to higher cholesterol rates, clog your arteries, and then you have a heart attack. Completely bullshit. Cannot be wrong, but this they discussed for at least 2 hours of that 4 hours, and neither one of them was budging an inch, and it all to Ansel Keys.
Oh, that was, I hate that guy.
So his very, very shitty, I don't know, survey. I don't want to call it an experiment.
It was literally a survey.
Yeah, it's like not research. It is the worst kind of...
It was just science. Data collection in a shitty way.
And they nitpicked all the data that they wanted and got rid of the ones that they didn't. So it was a 22-country study. They looked at 7 of the 22 countries, the ones that fit their narrative, disregarded the other 2/3 of the study, and basically came to the conclusion that saturated fat equals heart disease. And that is why heart disease is now the number one cause of death in our country with no signs of slowing down. So I personally, if the number one cause of death in our country is heart disease, and your cardiologist is not going to bring up anything new, they're just using the same old methods that have not worked, I don't know if I really want to listen to that doctor. Like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Like, oh, hey, we've been focusing on heart disease for the last, like, 60, 70 years. Hey, we're not getting any better at it. We're probably getting worse at it. Maybe we should try a different route. Maybe what we thought we knew about it was completely wrong. But nope, not according to Dr. Joel Kahn.
No, they're really sticking to their guns, right?
Oh, completely. He actually said that made me laugh really hard in my car. I thought it was hilarious. He said, I've never scooped sugar out of a heart, referring to cholesterol. That's what if he's cleaning out arteries, cleaning out the heart, he's literally scooping out cholesterol. But that dietary fat and even dietary cholesterol has minimal to no effects on blood cholesterol. There's very, very little evidence of that. And there is no effect between saturated fat, dietary cholesterol, and heart disease. Like, it's pretty clear. There's been so much science about it. There's so many books. I've read a book. You've read a couple books on it. Like, this is the biggest, like, mistake that we've made in, like, the past 60, 70 years.
No, it's not a mistake. This is the biggest scam in the history of medicine.
Oh, yeah. Like, we instead of taking a step back, hey, we fucked up, let's start making some changes. Nope. We just got the institutions that he keeps quoting, like all the major health organizations. They all tell us to limit saturated fat. So saturated fat must cause heart disease. That's his major point, is that how can all these major organizations be wrong? And like Crusher brought up, it's study after study after study. Like, you know, hey, this one from 2018, 2016, 2015, just saying saturated fat does not cause heart disease. Saturated fat may cause cholesterol to rise, but high cholesterol does not lead to heart disease. So, like,
you know what high cholesterol does lead to?
A longer life.
A longer, healthier life, you fucks. Oh, I hate that. And I hate that whole little thing you just said as far as I've never scooped sugar out of an artery or out of a heart. You know what he's doing there? He's playing on people's ignorance. Like somebody, like some whatever steel worker from the Midwest doesn't really understand biology, doesn't really understand metabolism. So he's like, yeah, that makes sense. There is no sugar in arteries. They don't understand that sugar gets broken down to glucose in our stomach, right? And then gets shipped out to our cells. And there really is no cholesterol in our blood. Cholesterol is carried around in lipoproteins. You ever try and mix oil and water? What happens?
They don't.
They don't.
They separate.
Exactly. One's hydrophobic, one's hydrophilic, right? So they separate. So we need to package triglycerides and cholesterol inside of lipoproteins. That's what gets shipped around in our blood. There is no cholesterol in our blood. And that's besides the point. Cholesterol does not cause heart disease.
Yeah, I feel like we will probably do at least one, probably several podcasts on just how to better interpret your cholesterol readings for disease, because there are, like, you know, HDL, the triglycerides, that's a pretty good marker. But again, he was just, hey, high cholesterol, heart disease, you need to be on Lipitor. You know, we wouldn't have Lipitor or all these other statin drugs if the science didn't back up all these things. And it's like, no, it's the same shitty science. Like, if you have one shitty study, the 7-country study, and then another study comes out 2 years later quoting this study, and then another study comes out a decade later and they're quoting the 7-country study, like, yeah, you're not getting any new information. You're just still working off the same shitty hypothesis.
Yes, and a ton of people are making a ton of money off of Lipitor and all other statins. Statins are the biggest scam on the planet.
I know. It's very, very sad. So that was, like, the major part of the whole debate was based off of that. Saturated fat, you primarily get from animal protein. There are a couple plant sources. Coconut oil's one. I believe avocados have a decent amount of saturated fat as well. But it should be noted that when you fat, it's pretty much all three types of fat. You get saturated fat, you get monounsaturated, and you get polyunsaturated. It's very rare that you're going to get something that is 100% one type of fat.
Well, you won't unless you buy, like, MCT oil, something, like, made synthetically, you know?
I mean, just everything in nature pretty much comes blended.
Yes, exactly.
So even if you are on a vegetarian, vegan diet, if you are eating a healthy amount of, you know, omega-3s, omega-6s, more likely than not, you're getting quite a bit of saturated fat along with that. At least I don't really know how else you can go around it.
Well, there's not. That you can't follow that logic down that rabbit hole, because that rabbit hole just leads to madness. It doesn't make no sense. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And I can make an argument for why sugar... because it is true that you do find cholesterol in plaques, like in our arteries, right? But I'll make argument for why sugar is really the enemy there. One of the new, well, I guess it's not that new, but a theory as far as how LDL, which is just a lipoprotein, gets into the arterial wall. Our arterial wall has an endothelial lining that's just one cell thick, so it's really thin. So LDL, which again is just a lipoprotein, is manufactured by the liver. It gets shipped around throughout our body, transferring triglycerides and cholesterol to various cells that need it. And again, it's all cells. Cholesterol is extremely important, is essential for life. So what happens with sugar, there's too much sugar in the bloodstream, something called glycation, which is just the binding of a sugar and a protein without the presence of an enzyme. So it kind of messes with the shape of the protein. So on the outside of an LDL particle, you have a protein called ApoB. So when glycation happens, which happens when you have a high sugar diet, again, or starch diet, whatever, white bread, soda, ice cream, anything like that, your blood sugar shoots up, your glycation events shoot up. Those sugars bind to the LDL particles, specifically the ApoB protein, and now the liver doesn't recognize that LDL particle anymore, right? Because the protein binds to the liver, and the liver's like, oh, I don't know what you are. I'm not going to reabsorb you. I'm not going to transfer you back to a VLDL and then ship you back out to the system. I'm going to keep you as an LDL, and it keeps sending you out through the bloodstream. So now your LDL is elevated, not because cholesterol is really the problem. It's because it's glycated from the sugar. So now there's a lot of LDL in our bloodstream, so the body has to put it somewhere. So it'll dump it in that one cell thick lining through our arteries, and that will cause plaques. But again, it's not the cholesterol that's a problem. It's the sugar that caused the problem to begin with. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. These fucks, and there's a...
But you have to kind of know your shit to put that together. You know what I'm saying? It's not that simple.
And even if you don't have a degree in biochemistry, you can still just kind of like look at this. Like, we've been eating saturated fat for a very, very long time. Yes, heart disease has been present in the world, but it hasn't been the number one killer like it is today. And it's kind of funny how it rose to be the number one killer, the same that we have high fructose corn syrup and damn near everything now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We just have such a crazy amount to just like these sugar foods and drinks. And like, not only, oh, if there's sugar in it, there is like an ungodly amount of sugar in damn near everything now. Just completely unnatural, like Franken foods, just smothered in sugar. Of course, we're going to have some metabolic issues with consuming that much.
Yes. And just bringing up fructose, again, glucose has been around forever. As far as like white rice, things like that, it's just a starch. Starch breaks down to glucose. Our body can handle glucose fairly well. Fructose has been around forever as well, but it's been seasonal, just through small local berries you would find when you're just gathering foods. But nowadays, we do have high fructose corn syrup. We do have genetically modified fruits that are a million times sweeter and a million times more sugar dense than any fruit that we used to have. And you know, glycation, what I talked about earlier, glycation being the real problem with high sugar diets, fructose is 7 times more likely to cause glycation than glucose. 7x. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a very, very strong correlation. You could actually make some...
That's, you know, 700%. We talked about 18% earlier. 7x is 700%.
Yeah, you can actually make some conclusions from data like that. Some accurate, fairly accurate conclusions.
Yes.
That was pretty upsetting, just listening to quote after, or study after study, and I just don't understand how he can come to that conclusion. But he basically just said, like, you have to trust me on the biochemistry here, or our favorite school, Loma Linda University, kept getting brought up. Oh, as well as our probably second favorite, or maybe it's
Harvard.
1A. Harvard kept being brought up.
Oh, I hate those places, man.
Yeah, so like those were the two universities that he kept bringing up. That is, to support his data. He also brought up, I believe we touched on this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the history of the food pyramid, that according to Loma Linda University, vegetarians and vegans live longer. But Chris Kresser brought up a very, very good point that I believe we touched upon, is that Mormons live just as long as they do, and they eat, and everything else is the same. Their lifestyle, they don't drink alcohol, caffeine, no real sugary drinks. They both believe in exercise, have strong family ties, all these other good things that go along with a healthy lifestyle. The only difference is one eats meat and the other doesn't. And as far as like most major studies have shown, there's really like no difference between the two. So making the conclusion that meat is killing us off of that just seems pretty, I don't know, I thought just that one study alone was just like, okay, conversation over. We don't really need to listen to the other 3 hours and 55 minutes of this talk. That should pretty much just slam the door on every single argument you're making.
Yeah, you would think. But the thing is, they just changed the questions. You know what I mean? They changed the argument. So again, if that solution didn't work, then they'll just change the narrative.
Yeah, and basically, like, I know I mentioned this on a podcast. I think it was with the food pyramid one. It was like the tip of the week is when you look at all these studies, instead of looking at them individually, hey, this does this mechanism is linked to heart disease, something along those lines. Well, why don't you just take a step back and look at the whole picture as a whole, you know? Yes, maybe there are some things, and the saturated fat in meat, maybe it does do something like this, but maybe there's some other things in meat that we don't know about yet that's going down some other metabolic pathway that's counteracting it. Like, Mother Nature has a pretty good way of keeping us alive by having a lot of yin and yang in its own.
That's true.
I mean, like, the best example I could think of is eggs. For the longest time, everybody's like, nope, don't eat the yolk. There's cholesterol in there. We got to avoid the yolk. But the white part, the best source of protein out there. It's a good thing we figured this out today so we could stop eating those yolks, which seems like that would have been damn near impossible to do if you lived 10,000 years ago. I don't know how the hell you would be able to take the time to separate the yolk from the white part.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. That makes no sense.
Yeah, so I guess Mother Nature's been trying to kill us, and we finally figured out how to stop it.
And
I don't
know,
that just doesn't really make sense to me.
It doesn't, and I want to touch on just that cholesterol thing. Our body, a guy like me, 6'2", a little over 200 pounds, like I probably make about 2,000 milligrams of cholesterol a day. 2,000 milligrams of cholesterol a day. So you're telling me my body is constantly poisoning me every day? That's what you're telling me. Okay, sure. You know our liver's a metabolic wizard. It can turn anything to anything damn near. What type of fat do you think our liver makes?
Saturated.
Oh, saturated. So our liver produces these two poisonous chemicals, these two poisonous substances, cholesterol, saturated fat, 24/7, 365. Really? That's the problem? Come on. And people don't know that. People don't realize that our body needs these substances. They are essential. There's only two things. We need essential fatty acids and essential amino acids. And cholesterol is not technically essential because our body can make a lot of it. For some people, they don't make a lot or they don't make enough. So cholesterol is technically essential, but we need it for all our metabolic pathways.
Yeah, and I believe there's only one food source that has all your essential fatty acids and all your essential amino acids. Do you know what that is?
What is that? Please enlighten me.
It's the one thing that vegetarians and vegans don't think we should be eating. That would be meat. So beef, great example. Fish, great example. Everybody loves talking about how good fish oil is or how good fish is when it comes to your omega-3s, your omega-6s. You need to get those. So how important can those things be if we're not supposed to be eating the best source of it? I don't know how that can be true. Like, okay, the best source for your omega-3s, your omega-6s, and your essential amino acids, you have this whole, it's basically like a multivitamin type of thing. It's like a one-size-fits-all meal. Don't eat it. You should get your essential fatty acids from nuts. And then to get your essential amino acids, you have to eat a bunch of different things to make sure that they all balance out. Eat a bunch of nuts with a bunch of spinach or something along those lines. Like, no. Ancient man was nowhere near smart enough to do that. Modern man isn't even smart enough to do that for the most part. You have to be a fucking doctor, cardiologist, to be able to figure out how to make this diet work.
Yes.
This is fucking crazy.
And the essential fatty acid that you're actually going to get in nuts is ALA. ALA is actually not the fatty acid we're really worried about. The omega-3 we really need are EPA and DHA. I would pronounce them, but they're long as shit, and I never pronounce those words right. But our bodies only convert ALA, again, this is from nuts, into EPA and DHA, either 0% to 9%. So that means you can eat all the almonds you could ever want. The max you're going to convert those ALAs into EPA and DHA is 9%. But guess what? You know where you can find EPA and DHA ready, just ready to go in its perfect, healthy, bioavailable form? In animals. Steak, fish, eggs. You'll actually get the form of fat that our body needs. You can't get that in plants. You can't get that in nuts.
And then also, going along with that, fish are, like, they're never out of season. They're always alive. You can always find some fish somewhere. Maybe there's, you know, greater numbers at different times of year, but no, you can still find that. You know, go back a few hundred years living in California. Like, how would you get almonds? How would you get walnuts? You know, it's January right now. Where am I going to get all my essential fatty acids from? Like, there's just no way you'd be able to do it year round.
There
is. This stuff just isn't in season. So it's just, I don't know, it's just completely just crazy to me
that you're thinking that. Yeah. And there's other vitamins too, like vitamin A. You get beta carotene from plants, right? And they say, oh, your body converts that to vitamin A. Yeah, not really, bro. Again, it's a very small percentage. And they even say in a state of hyperinsulinemia, so if your body is kind of diabetic to begin with, you won't convert any beta carotene to vitamin A. But you know where you can get vitamin A in its ready form, very bioavailable form? Guess where you can get it?
Organ meats, right?
Yeah, animal sources. You're not going to get it from plant sources. How about vitamin D? Where are you going to get that in the plant kingdom?
Well, there's a gigantic Got Milk campaign that came out about a decade ago. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that the best or a great source of vitamin D would be dairy.
Yes. Man, there's just so many things that you cannot get in the plant kingdom that you can get in the animal kingdom that are just essential nutrients.
And mentioning essential nutrients, what's the main thing that vegetarians and vegans are lacking?
Fucking common sense.
You get the supplement with it. Comes in pill form.
Fuck if I know. It's everything. Vitamin D, vitamin A, essential fatty acids, B12, all those things.
There you go, B12. B12 is a major one. At least that's the one I knew that before I even really did that big of a deep dive into this type of stuff, was vitamin B12. There's no plant source that you can get vitamin B12 from. You can get it from mushrooms, but again, mushrooms aren't plants. So I wouldn't really count that. And you're also not getting like large amounts of vitamin B12 from mushrooms, unless that's like eating. You're just foraging mushrooms all day and just shoving them down your face. Like, that's all you're doing. It's the only way you're going to get adequate vitamin B12 levels.
And if you did do that, you would be deficient in either your amino acids or your fatty acids, because all you would have time to do is eat mushrooms.
Yeah, like, it's not practical. So, Dr. Joel Kahn, he acknowledges this, and he accepts that as a fact. So, he recommends to everybody to take a vitamin B12 supplement. Kresser and Joe Rogan both commented on it. It's like, how can this be the optimal diet if you need supplementation? That's another argument that should just say, hey, this is not the way that people should be eating. Again, like, I'm not going to say that, you know, eating a salad for lunch is going to kill you or lead to you, you know, getting sick and dying. Like, no, it's eating a salad is not bad, but you know what would be better? If you threw some steak in that salad.
Yes.
Now you're getting, so, you know, so now you're getting all your essential amino acids to go along with it. There are some good things with vegetables and stuff like that, plants. That's where we get most of our medicine, do come from plants or do come from mushrooms. So it's not like they're all evil and just out there trying to kill us. But to say that animals are trying to kill us, like, they're only trying to kill us when we're trying to slaughter them. Like, that's the only, you know, time. And we have domestic animals that we've pretty much removed all their defenses from. So, like, yeah, we don't really have to worry about that. Like, I don't know. It's just, if you need a supplement on your diet, then that the only time you could have done this diet and lived a somewhat healthy life is once that supplement was created. I don't think there was vitamin B12 supplements 500 years ago or a million years ago. Like, people were around And they were around and they were thriving. Optimal diet today was not the optimal diet 100 years ago or for the past 2 million years. It's only the optimal diet today and at no other time.
Yeah, you've been able to get, like, vitamin B12 supplements for maybe, like, the last 50 years. I think the 70s when the whole vitamin revolution kicked in. So, for 50 years, this diet's been possible. 50 years. In the grand scheme of our evolution, that is less than a drop in a bucket. It's nothing.
Yeah, I thought that
was, well, hold on, but what was his... What was Chris Kresser's... Like, how hard did he go at him about the B12? Because I would kill him on the B12.
So he's basically, he just mentioned a few studies that just show how the vitamin B12 deficiency is, just like in the common public, but like then especially like how much higher it was within the vegetarian and vegan communities, like how much higher that rates are. And this is something that you would like, hey, if you go vegetarian for a year, are you going to be vitamin B12 deficient? Possibly. Are you going to notice it? Maybe, maybe not. But if you do this for 30 years, no, you won't be able to do it for 30 years. About 5 years, you're going to start noticing a big, big difference. Like vitamin B12 is like essential for your nervous system. Like you absolutely need it. I've heard so many stories from vegetarians and vegans where they'll just be like walking down like the shopping aisle at the grocery store and they'll just have mind-crippling pain and they just can't move anymore, and there's a lot of like low energy levels, brain fog, a lot of these type of symptoms, and that's because your nervous system isn't able to work properly because you don't have vitamin B12. You're deficient in vitamin B12.
You know how you said it's about 5 years, you know, then you'll start noticing really these symptoms. Our B12 is so essential. Our liver can store about 3 to 5 years worth of B12. So if you don't provide it, our liver has like a backup supply. Think of it like a battery bank. So like, oh, if this new vegan, he's an 18 years old. He's like, I'm healthy. I've been vegan for 2 years. All right, bro, come talk to me in 5 years and see how you're feeling. Once that B12 runs out and your liver's not giving you those extra, you're going to be feeling real shitty. And people don't know that.
Well, that's just because you have one of the top cardiologists in the nation saying how bad meat is for you and how good vegetables are. But I don't hear that the vitamin B12 like being pushed as much as it should be. Like people know, hey, I need to take vitamin C. Like I don't know how many people are taking vitamin C pills throughout the country. I mean, that's probably one of the top vitamins, if not the top vitamin that everybody's taking. But B12 doesn't have that same notoriety. Like you're not going to be going into like any household in America is seeing vitamin B12. That's only going to be in certain households that you're really going to be seeing it. And you might be seeing it in its proper form. You need to get methylated B12. Like that's also very key. Like you can just get, you know, some random B12 vitamins, but your body's not able to absorb it because it's not in the proper form. Or if you're also not getting a very, very high dose of it, it's pretty much just going to be non-effective. So not only do you need a supplement with it, you need a supplement with the right type, which is methylated, and you also have a supplement with pretty high doses of it on a daily basis. Like, that's a lot of work to be... you can't really be going on vacations and, like, skipping your... unless you want to bring your pills with you. Like, there's a lot of, like, traveling, just day-to-day activities that you really can't do unless you're consciously thinking, oh, I need to get my vitamin B12 supplement. Another reason why this diet is not the most optimal one. So there was another... since we are talking about essential things, there was another topic that they brought up, fiber. They just kind of brushed over it. Dr. Joel Kahn like just kind of brought up like how important fiber is, and Kresser pretty much with them, but for different reasons. I've never heard this before. Maybe you have because you're a little bit deeper into the whole carnivore movement than I am.
Yeah, bring it down, man. Let me hear it.
So without fiber, if all you're eating is meat all the time, you'll have less frequent bowel movements, and the meat will basically get caught in your large intestine because there isn't that fiber pushing it along.
Oh yeah, that's a huge cut. People always say that. Yeah, it makes no. Have you heard of peristalsis before?
I was literally just about to bring that up. Like, so does that not happen in?
Because all of a sudden, fiber grows legs and literally walks down our large intestines. That's what you're saying.
I guess. I mean, they're just saying like that bulk, that big bulk of fiber is pushing, is forcing everything out. Now, Kresser agreed that fiber is very important. Neither one of them would say that it is essential. But Kresser's argument was different and just saying that it's very important for overall gut health if you want, you know, a big diversity in your gut microbiome. So he's bringing it up for that reasons, which I kind of agree with but kind of don't, just because anything with the gut biome, there is so much new science that's coming out on it, and every single I don't really want to say that there is an expert in this field, because I don't think there is.
There isn't.
Every single person I've heard talk about it has said pretty much something different than the last person. So I don't really know how much faith to really put in any of that stuff so far. I just use my own common sense to kind of make my own conclusions off of that.
And I have an example. And, like you said, I am a little bit deeper into this carnivore world a little bit. And there was a gentleman on Twitter who suffered from IBS, suffered from colitis for years. And he always got, you can send stool samples to labs to get them actually tested for your gut microbiome, right? It'll test diversity, it'll test the amount, all those type of things. So he did it for years.
Which sounds very gross for like your UPS driver or your mailman or whoever has to pick up that package.
Yes. So he had a whole history. He'd been doing it for years, right? Because he suffered from these conditions, these autoimmune diseases, and he said his life sucked. So he was doing anything he could to, relieve his symptoms. So eventually he stumbled on the carnivore diet. He tried that, and that carnivore diet cuts out fiber completely, and it relieved his symptoms dramatically. He's so much better now. He doesn't suffer from ulcerative colitis. He doesn't suffer from IBS at all. Guess what? He still sends in his samples, and you know what his samples are now. He's been carnivore for months. His samples today are more diverse than they were when he was eating grams of fiber every day. More diverse now.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that that's just like, I can't really fully buy into the whole gut biome argument with anything yet. I do believe that it is important, but I don't know if anybody completely understands how important it is or how to even really like regulate distinguish. I don't know like how anybody can make any recommendations off of it.
The fact is they shouldn't. Nobody knows it enough, and honestly, to make any sort of conclusion either for or against. The way I come down on it is, for millions of years, we did not worry about our gut biome. It took care of itself. Our gut biome is going to take care of itself as long as we're eating the right things. As long as we're eating whole foods, the stuff that we've been eating for millions of years, we're going to be fine. It's when we start adding artificial sweeteners, it's when we start adding pounds of sugar into our diet every year, that these bacteria are able to grow that were never supposed to be there, or were never supposed to be there in that amount or in that specific location. Like you heard of SIBO, which is like bacteria getting into your small intestines. That type of stuff not supposed to happen, but that's not from like not having fiber. That's not from having low diversity. That's from eating shit. That's what it is. Eating this processed crap that our gut's not supposed to handle.
Yeah, and then also, pretty much every time anybody gets sick or gets cut, they
antibiotics.
Get antibiotics, and those just annihilate your gut biome too.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that are in today's world that it's. We've never had experience. Maybe our parents, maybe our grandparents experienced, but that's it. Like, there hasn't been enough time for, you know, thousands of years of evolution to catch up with the way that a lot of people are living today. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think that's a very, very smart way to look at it with your gut biome. Just do things that, you know, are healthy for you and that should take care of itself. That's pretty much my philosophy with most things. You just do stuff for your body to make it stronger. Your body will heal itself. It's smarter than we are. It should be able to take care of itself.
Yes, exactly.
So speaking about the whole carnivore thing, and I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be, but I know this is somebody's work that you follow, Sean Baker. Sean mm-hmm. Baker is going to have a similar debate with Dr. Joel Kahn in the not too distant future.
Oh shit! Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I'm looking forward. Because Chris Kresser, he's a cool guy. You know, he is smart, very knowledgeable. But he does play in between the lines. You know what I mean? He does say fiber's still good. He still says he eats plants. Like, John Baker doesn't play that shit. He's pretty gangster when it comes to this.
Oh, yeah. I'm very looking forward to that interview. I know a little bit of Sean Baker's work because, I mean, if you talk about carnivore, Sean Baker's name is going to come up. but I haven't followed him as closely as I followed other people like Chris Kresser. So I'm very interested in that, especially because now you have somebody that says meat is good versus somebody that says meat is not, or meat is like the key to health versus somebody that's saying meat is poison. So now you actually have two people that very, very strongly disagree on damn near everything. Which is funny is Dr. Joel Kahn said that they were like really close friends, actually. Which doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, we'll like, see how friendly they are on the podcast.
Yeah, so I'm hoping, and also, Kurt didn't really seem to be too into that like debate culture. Didn't really like argue or just kind of come across as, hey, you're wrong on this. Dr. Joel Kahn did a few times. I think Kresser's just too nice of a guy, and he did seem a little timid. So hopefully Sean Baker will just be like, no, that's some bullshit, what you just said.
Yes, that's what we need, because like I said, Chris Kresser's a nice guy. He really probably didn't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't think Sean Baker's going to care.
Yeah. And Kresser's diet that he recommends, he calls it a nutrivore, so like a nutrient-dense omnivore. His diet that he recommends is like one half to three quarters of your plate should be, you know, no glycemic type vegetables. And the rest should be some sort of animal source. So some organ meats, fatty cut of meat, you know, some fish, something, eggs, something along those lines. But still, majority of it is still a plant-based diet. So him and Dr. Joel Kahn aren't completely at odds. One's just saying meat should have zero part of your diet. The other one's saying meat should have, you know, 30% of your diet. So they're not too far off on what they believe. It's just the science of how they got to their conclusions is where the major disagreement was. And one guy is basically entrenched with everything that we've been preaching for the last 70 years is 100% true. How can any sort of major organization make any sort of mistake? Shit happens all the time. We've been making mistakes for fucking millions of years. That's what humans do. We make a mistake. We don't want to admit it. Finally, we're like, oh shit, there's too much evidence. We need to admit that we made this mistake. And then on. Like, we used to think the world was flat. Not anymore. Everybody's seen a globe by now, unless you're Kyrie Irving. I mean, there's a lot of things. People used to think smoking was cool. It was fine. You could do that in an airplane. You can do that at your doctor's office while you're checking in a pregnant mother. We've come to realize that that is wrong. I'm pretty sure in our lifetimes, maybe not in our lifetimes, maybe the cell phones will kill us first, but I'm pretty sure we're going to realize that the super computer that we're walking around with, like attached to our hip at all times, is probably killing us. Like, there's a lot of things that's like, yeah, maybe people didn't know we're wrong, but like, yeah, we make mistakes. We've been doing it a lot.
I mean, I hope in our lifetime that we get this stuff right, but so many people are making so much money off of this. It's gonna be hard. You know, it's like turning a aircraft carrier. You know, it takes a long time to make it change directions.
I know we talked about this not in a podcast, but off the air. Is what we need to do is find another supervillain to combat them. Is we need like McDonald's or some like major player in the beef industry to be coming out like, hey, you can't be talking shit on our product anymore. Like, if McDonald's gets in the nutrition game, I'm willing to bet, since beef is their number one seller, they're going to come out with all these pro-beef arguments.
Yeah, and that's what we need.
That should be enough. Yeah, that should be enough to overwhelm them. I mean, because right now, what's going on right now, like, Coca-Cola dominates the nutrition field. They find so much research in the nutrition field. It's not even funny.
And what do you think the results are when Coke does a study? What do you think the results are?
Sugar is good for you.
Yeah, sugar's fine.
A calorie is a calorie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's an avocado or a can of Coke. They are equivalent to your body. It is just energy.
And we both know how stupid that is.
I'm sure most people should be able to realize that. I mean, even if you're like 10 years old, what do you mean this apple and this can of Coke are equivalent? No, they're not. Like, I mean, come on now.
I know.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the gist of that whole debate. I mean, I just basically saved you guys about 3.5 hours of podcast listening. It was a very good listen. I definitely recommend it, especially if you're on the fence about this. A, is meat good for you? Is it not good for you? or if you're just looking for some little bit more ammo to throw at your vegetarian or vegan friends, like, hey, this is why you're wrong. There is one thing that they did agree upon, which I was kind of surprised to hear Dr. Joel Kahn agree with it, is that the standard American diet is shit. They both agreed with that, that everything is better than the standard American diet, or damn near every diet is better than the standard American diet. So they didn't agree on everything. And I would agree that a vegan diet or a vegetarian diet is better than the standard American diet, but that's not saying a whole lot.
No, and it's only better because it cuts out sugar and refined seed oils. That's what it is.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure I can beat 6-year-olds at a game of basketball, but that doesn't mean I'm good at basketball.
Exactly. You know, like, that's perspective.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're just better than the worst. Like, no offense.
Yeah, congratulations.
But yeah, it's not saying a whole lot. Like, you're setting the bar really low if you're trying to compare anything to the standard American diet. We didn't even touch on TMAO. Should we discuss that or no?
Well, you know, I don't know enough about it. I know it's in fish. I know fish studies have been proven to lower heart disease. So to blame TMAO for heart disease makes no fucking sense.
Okay. You know exactly enough to talk about it. That is one of the... So when we were talking about the whole saturated fat and cholesterol argument, Dr. Joel Kahn brought that up, is that TMAO is a very great biomarker for heart disease. And he also brings up that fish is good at lowering heart disease, but fish has so much greater level of TMAO than, let's say, beef or eggs or any of the other things that are full of saturated fat that do cause, or according to Dr. Joel Kahn, cause heart disease. So, like, he argued with himself and basically just, like, I don't know, he proved himself wrong within a couple minutes. It was... I don't know. I've never heard TMAO before, or maybe I have and just didn't hold enough weight to it to remember it. So I'm
no,
not really
there's,
sure.
There's no reason to remember TMAO. The only real study, I shouldn't even call it a real study. The only bullshit paper that kind of pointed the finger at TMAO was like really shittily done. Again, like every other study that points at meat as being bad. So it's not even worth it. TMAO is nothing to look at. It's just not.
I was thinking that's probably... I haven't heard of it because it got, you know, that as soon as Dr. Joel Kahn brought it up, Kresser destroyed that argument within minutes. So it was like, okay, that was a really quick topic of discussion. And since I follow a lot more people that are like-minded to Kresser than they are to Dr. Joel Kahn, that's probably why I've never heard it mentioned. And it's not that I haven't listened to Dr. Joel Kahn or people like him before. That's what I learned in school. Everything that he's teaching is what I learned in school. And that type of message is damn near everywhere, but it doesn't seem to be working. So I don't think we should just, you know, ignore all these people like Chris Kresser that's looking into all this new research. It's like, hey, we don't have the science figured out for heart disease. So, you know, like, because it's getting worse and worse. We need to figure this stuff out. Maybe we should look at some different approaches instead of trying to figure out another way why the approach that we're currently doing, that's not working. Trying to, like, you know, put both feet, like, not move, not budge on it, just double down. It just makes, I don't know, it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, it really is frustrating.
So I think that pretty much does it. I mean, this was supposed to be a much shorter podcast than the Rogan one, but I guess it turned out to be quite a long one as well.
Yeah, that's pretty long. Did you think of any other tip while you were talking, any inspiration?
The only tip of the week, I'm just going to, you know, recycle one from a couple weeks ago, is since this one is, all we're talking about is studies after studies, we'll link the Chris Kresser's notes, we'll link the podcast, and we'll also link Joel Kahn's as well, is don't look at one individual study. Either take the time to read a bunch of different studies that have conclusions on both sides, or just take a couple steps back and just, like, look at this. Just because one thing causes this mechanism to happen and we think this mechanism causes heart disease, that doesn't mean that saturated fat causes heart disease. If you look at it as a whole, saturated fat does not cause heart disease. Saturated fat is not linked to any sort of increased mortality rates. So it's like, just look at things that look at the system as a whole. All-cause mortality should be the number one thing that most people look at, especially when it comes to these gigantic epidemiological studies. Hey, did you die at all within these 5 years? Doesn't matter if you died from cancer or heart disease. So it's kind of like, take a step back and like look at stuff as a whole, look at the whole human instead of just, oh, you eat protein, mTOR pathway is activated, you're going to get cancer. Like, no, that's not how it works.
All right, that's another episode in the books. A little long this week, but we're both pretty passionate about this whole veganism thing. I hate that narrative. But you can check us out at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at tntwellnessandnutrition@gmail.com. And you can find us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Feel free to reach out.
Yeah, look for the flexing bicep inside the blue heart. We'll be coming at you with a Q&A soon. This hot topic just kind of came up, and we had to talk about it. As you can see, it's something that we were both very passionate about. That's why this podcast went a little bit long. Stay tuned for next week's episode. We'll have some more great information for you guys. Have a happy and healthy week.